before I got saved, I was, you know, wasn't raised in the Lord. Took to church every now and then and all of that stuff. And honestly, you know, never dreamed, only could dream, especially before I got saved, about having a good life and a good future and all of that stuff. But once I got born again, you know, I realized that pretty quickly that a selfish life is an unfulfilling life, you know. Now I learned that a little bit here and a little bit there, but through God's Word. And I found out if you want to have a fail-proof life, walking in the love of God is the way to do it. I mean, I don't care what it is. I was thinking I was in the bathroom this morning and I thought about a scripture in Jude over there where it says, praying in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And then it says, keep yourself in the love of God. And when I thought about that scripture, you know, I thought of an incident. And Teresa was bedridden. She was pregnant with Judah. And he didn't make it, you know. But anyhow, she was bedridden. And Teresa's mom come over a lot and took care of her when I couldn't, you know. And because if she got up or anything, she would have the baby. And, they would, you know, we wanted to have Judah. And at that time, I had this one guy that he was in Arab, and I was pressured on every side, church, business, family. I mean, I was just under a lot of pressure, you know, and the enemy and different things, you know. And this guy, he wasn't going to pay because I put a door in and he thought I should put an outlet in to plug the operator up with, you know. And I told him, I said, I'm not an electrician, you know. That's got nothing to do with God's doors. And so he's not going to pay all of it. He's going to pay an electrician to come and then take out whatever the electrician charges out of my part, you know, and everything. And so I felt like that, and God reminded me of this morning. At that time, I felt like I'm done, you know. And so I called up Teresa's mom and I didn't tell nobody nothing, and I asked her, I said, can you come over, so-and-so? Well, I called the guy first, and I said, you're going to be at home at so-and-so? And yeah, I'm here, you know, and I said, okay. I called her up. She comes over, and I just tell her, I said, well, I'll be back in a little while. And so I'm headed Arab, you know, but I'm not going to have a pleasant visit, you know. I mean, I'm done, you know. I mean, you're taken away from my family. My wife is bedridden. You know, the pressure of the church and all of that stuff, and she couldn't do Sunday school and couldn't do housework and different things, you know, and the yard, nothing. She couldn't do, you know, but anyways, and so my thinking is I'm done, you know, and I done been to the dude's house, and my plan was I planned it out, you know, and I considered that I would lose the church. I considered a lot of stuff, you know. But I thought, this is it. This dude's not going to. So I planned out how I was going to, when he opened the door, I'm just going to uppercut him. And I'm going, when he hits the ground, I'm going to be on top of him. And he ain't even going to know what hit him. You know, and that's my plan. And I'm my mind's on it. And I get all the way, and I'm actually getting excited about it. How many knows your flesh, your adrenaline and all of that, you know, it can feel exciting. You know, because I'm like, finally, I get to let it go. You know, because as a Christian, you feel restrained sometimes, you know. Love restrains it, constrains us, you know, when we're walking in it. Well, anyhow, I get up about where 69 crosses 231, and the Holy Spirit said, pray in tongues. And I thought, I'm not praying in tongues. I don't want to pray. Pray in tongues. And I thought, I don't want to pray. I'm not going to pray. I'm done praying. I'm done fasting. I'm done. I'm going to handle it. God, you know. Well, anyways, about the second and third time, I thought, oh, well, what is it going to hurt? So I started praying in tongues. And all of a sudden, when I started praying in tongues, my heart changed. My heart changed the Bible says, praying in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. But it says, then the next part of that verse says, keep yourself in the love of God. You know, and he's talking about some end time events in there in the book of Jude, you know. But anyways, I mean, my heart just changed, you know. What happened? I got in love. I got over in love. Now, my faith was working, and I'm like, well, even if he don't pay it off. And then I thought, I know what I'm going to do. The Bible says for me to overcome evil with good, this is evil, you know, and I'm going to overcome it with good, you know. Now love was talking, you know, and love never fails. Love don't come short. Love don't bankrupt you. Love keeps you in power. It does, you know. And so I get there, you know, and I thought, well, when I'm pulling up, I thought I'm just going to sign it. I'm going to tell him to bring me the invoice, and I'm going to sign it paid in full. You don't give me nothing. You just keep it all, you know. And so that's what the God plan was now. And so I knocked on the door, and he came just like I envisioned down there when I was going to uppercut him, and that would have happened, I mean, you know. Because I felt like, what else have I got to lose? See, you might sometimes come, and you might feel like life is just, you know, what else have you got to lose? What's the use in serving God? What, you know, Satan tries all this stuff using natural pressures, your families, all kinds of stuff, you know, and everything to get us out of the love of God. Because we're in the love of God. We have the love of God in us. And when we're walking in God and we're wanting to serve God and we're walking after God and we're endeavoring to do the will of God in our lives, each one of us, you know, we're walking in the Spirit. And when you're walking in the Spirit, you're walking in the love of God. And it just gets stronger as we yield to it, like Teresa was talking about. Well, he answered the door and, yeah. And I said, hey, man, I said, bring me that invoice. I said, bring me that invoice that you've got, you know. And I said, bring a pen. I said, I'm just going to mark it paid in full. You don't owe me nothing. You just paid the lecture, whatever. I said, you know, I said, bring me that invoice. Well, when he brought me the invoice, he brought me the full amount of check with it. And he paid me. And when I left there, I thought, glory to God, man, Satan almost got me to make him wrong. He don't have the power to do anything to you. He does not have the power, but he has suggestion. He suggests you're going to fail. He suggests your wife don't love you. He suggests that people don't love you. He suggests to you that you're a nothing, a nobody, won't never have nothing. He suggests to you that God's power's not real. That's all he does is suggest to you. But see, that's why we know the Word of God. And I left there and I thought, man, how close I came to destroying my life, destroying my ministry, you know. And I mean, I've been to jail before I got saved, so I'm not afraid to go to jail. I mean, what they going to do, lock you up? You get TV and air conditioning, all kinds of stuff now. I mean, you can gamble in there and get money and all kinds of stuff. I mean, they get drugs in there and all kinds of stuff all the time. So I'm like, jail is an oasis to what it used to be, you know, to me, you know. But anyways, that's just wrong thinking, see. And so, I got in the love of God. That's why being filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of praying, and using it is very important. It's biblical, you know. And anyhow, love never fails. That's 1 Corinthians 13:8. You know, it says love never fails. In other words, love don't run out. If you've got love in you, the love of God you're operating in, it don't come to an end. It don't get weaker as you go. The love of God gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And Jesus said that God loves us just like he loved Jesus. I mean, the same way he loved Jesus, he loves us. See, sometimes we look and we're just living in this natural realm. We're going to work and, you know, and we having to cut the grass and we, you know, different things and all of that stuff. And we're really not aware all the time. Some of us may be, some of us may not. But we're coming more aware of God in us. And the more that we're aware of God in us and God for us and God working for us and God working behind the scenes, the more our confidence level goes up. Now I know that God loves me like I didn't know that God loves me 30 years ago. I know that nothing that comes against me is impossible to overcome. I learned that through the scripture where it says, whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. How do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing and hearing God's word. And we don't really need to get too familiar. We need to memorize the word of God. We need to quote the word of God over our lives. But, you know, we need to be relying on God through the word of God, you know, so that God can manifest just like he did that in my finances. You know, and that wasn't the only job. It was like everything that I'd done worked backwards in that season that I was in. And I learned that there's different seasons in our life. There's seasons of rest. There's seasons of warfare. There's seasons of no battles, you know. And those are times where we don't just sit back and relax and, you know, that's times that we build ourselves up, you know. We build ourselves up in the Word of God. We rehearse the Word of God. Hallelujah. I go around all the time and have said it for 30 years. I am more than a conqueror. And I tell the Lord, just, you know, the Scriptures, Lord, I thank you that you said that you bless everything that I set my hands to do. You bless, you cause it to bless me. Now, when something starts going and I feel cursed and blah, 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 you're going to have those emotions and those feelings no matter what. You know, they're going to come to you. But see, when you're walking and developing the love of God on purpose, you've got to do it on purpose. I love my wife like Christ loved the church on purpose. And then when I do that on purpose, before you know it, I don't have to do that on purpose anymore. That just starts to become natural and flow from me. Loving your enemies. I mean, you pull up at a four-way crossing today, you know, I mean, if you look and nobody knows whose time to go. I mean, it happens to me about every time. I'm looking and I'm like, but I'm watching them all when I'm pulling up. And that one stopped first and that one's going next. And I don't know who's supposed to go. And they don't have a clue. And it makes you want to get out in the middle of that road and just crash their windshields out. Especially when you start and everybody starts and everybody's like, "Urgh!" Then they shoot you birds and all kinds of stuff like you're the culprit. You know, but you know what? I learned and started developing the love of God. Now, if I'm by myself, pull up there, and it's like that, I'm like a police officer. You go, you go, and now I'm going. You know, and I feel much better when I get through the four way than I used to. Why? Because I'm exercising the love of God. And if I do it there, I do it at home, I do it at church. If you've ever been in ministry and you've had over several people under you, I'm telling you, you will learn to walk in the love of God. You will learn how to work well with others. Why? Because God is good at that. He is love. Hallelujah. And I've had people to tell me, you know, you're easy to work with, but you think weird. And I'm like, no, I'm easy to work with because I get along with God. And I don't think weird because I think like God. I think like Him, structure. How many knows God don't like chaos in our life? And just like, and see, the deeper we walk in the love of God, the more simple we see it and how it revealed to us how simple and easy it is to walk with God. God's not hard to walk with. I was a young Christian, and one of the deacons here. Now, they would just obey God. God told the deacon one time, he said, when you get to church, he said, I want you to crawl from the back door to the altar. I want you to crawl. And so he tells Brad, he stops the service, you know, And he tells Brad, he says, the Lord wants me to crawl from the... Don't that sound stupid? I mean, that's off the wall there. Why not walk? Why not do like we all do, normal, you know? But see, somebody in the service, and he loved God. See, and he loved God because he loved God, he heard God. See, when we're loving on people, we're loving on God. Because God is about people. That's why I endeavor to love every one of you equally. Regardless, love won't allow me to have an opinion of you. If I really walk in the love of God, I don't have opinions. I don't go tell people, well, I just believe Johnny's a little different than in church than he is. I told him a while ago, I said, now we ain't going to have no trouble. He bought an ex-cop car. And he's parked right out front, and I'm coming up through there, and I'm like, ain't nobody going to mess with us now. They think the cops are going here. They'll probably stop coming through here because we got no through traffic. So they just bypass that like it's nothing. They're just like, hey. I spent some hard labor after open heart surgery digging that hard ground, man. You know, and I mean, I wanted them out. And then when I see them just bypassing it, I want to get out there and just, you know, have a club and jump out and bang. Oh, was that your windshield? Or throw a spike across it. But how many knows you don't yield to that? I don't yield to that. Learning to walk in the love of God is walking in the power of God. Hallelujah. I mean, it worked. You're going to have opportunities at work, praise the Lord. You know, I mean, I have opportunities. I don't work for the other man, although I do. I work for the public. So I don't never know how my boss is going to be reacting on each job, right? Because I'm employed by a lot of different bosses. And the majority of the bosses in a man and woman's home is the woman. They're backwards. Told one guy one time his wife was in the house, and see, this was love. You know, love will cause you to be structured. Love will cause you to be sound. I mean, you'll become predictable of being diligent and being, you know, wanting things in line, hallelujah, because that's the way God is. But anyways, I drive all the way over yonder 45 minutes or an hour, and the husband come out there, and he said, well, she'll be here soon. And I thought she was gone somewhere. You know, and I waited, and I went to him, and I said, hey. I said, when is she going to get here? You know, I done been here 45. Oh, well, she'll be out in a minute. I said, what do you mean be out? Well, she's in the house. I said, don't she know I'm out here? Well, yeah, she knows you're out here. I said, well, look, man, I'm going to get her. I said, I'm not scared of her like you are. I said, because I'm thinking, you're a man. You go tell that woman if she wants to know. I mean, this guy needs to know what God's doing. And so I charged him $150 extra. That's disrespectful, right? God's never disrespectful to us. And love is not. Lord told me one time, he said, walking in love, he said, you'll walk in faith. He said, and the righteous are bold. He said, it'll cause you to be bold against slothfulness, bold against fear, bold against poverty, bold against the devil, even on your family, your finances, your church. He said, it'll cause you to be bold. He said, it won't cause you to be timid. Well, the enemy comes to you and says, I believe I just quit this job, blah, blah, blah. God ain't told you to quit that job. You quit that job, you're timid. You're timid. You run into a little, you don't like it. You run into a little trouble. Maybe you're overseeing boss or whatever the case, or you're going after money to make more money. See, love will cause you to be led by the Spirit of God, not by finances, not by your feelings and emotions. When I got saved, I cried for 4 hours straight, man. I mean, it was like a cleansing taking place on the inside of me. It wasn't, I'm not a crying man. I told my mom one time, you can beat me to death with that belt buckle, and I'm not going to cry. So she'd get the belt buckle or shoe or whatever, you know. But I mean, the cleansing took place, and then I could see how that I'd treated people that I worked with, how I treated my wife, how I'd treated my family, and how I'd treated her family, and all of that. I mean, it was just like scales come off of what happened. Love came in. I didn't know God was love at that time, but I allowed Him to come in. I allowed love to come in, and I've been a different man ever since then. Love transforms you. Love is a transforming power of God. when love began to take Jesus, I mean, Jesus walked, he was God. But when he was operating in love, love, I believe, carried him to the cross. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he was a man like us, he was praying, you know, and he told the Lord, if there's any other way, let this cup pass, let this hardship pass from me. Let if there's any, he said, but nevertheless. See, love says, nevertheless, Lord, I'm not quitting my job, I'm going to walk in love. Nevertheless, Lord, I'm not going to get a divorce. Nevertheless, Lord, I'm not going to be selfish towards people and be self-centered, God. I'm going to walk in love and I'm going to be a giver and not a taker. See, the Bible says the generous soul shall be made fat. I mean, you know, we won't be generous if we're always trying to figure out, and a lot of times, I wasn't doing it on purpose, you know, because I'd be like, all of my bills are due, and, you know, what about mine? God told me one time, this guy, he wouldn't pay his bills or nothing, and the Lord told me, he said, I want you to pay his trailer payment, and he's going to lose his trailer, and I said, he's not worthy of a trailer payment. I mean, I work every day, God. You know, you've caused me to be faithful, God. You know, you wanted me to be a faithful man, you know, and be faithful to my boss and do the best, you know, and he won't go to work, and I know he won't work. Personally, I've been down lunch for a long time at that time. You know, God told me, he said, that's not the way love works. He said, you didn't deserve my favor. You didn't deserve my mercy. You didn't deserve anything. He said, but my love for you brought my son to the cross. And so I paid the guy's trailer pay. I'll pay you back. I said, I don't want paid back, man. I said, you know, go after God. Jesus told me to pay your trailer payment. Jesus told me to. Now I'm letting him know Jesus is the only reason. How many knows I shouldn't even really went that far? You know, because that was kind of arrogance, you know, on my part, unknown to me. You know, later on, the Lord said, you could have left all of that out. He said, you could have just paid that. He said, now you got your reward. I didn't get no reward for that. All I got was my satisfaction of being a little arrogant because, see, the love of God will cause you not to look at people the way they are. It'll cause you to overlook their faults. You know, I mean, I'm there, you know, and I'm still jacked up from the floor up after I get saved. And I'm still learning. I've according to the measure of God, I've still got a long way to go. Although I might have been walking with God a few years, about 25, 30 years, you know. But we're in a service, you know, and I'm in the Word of God, you know, like Jeremiah 29:11. I'm meditating on that. God, you've got a plan for me. See, I'd heard it preached, and I went into the Bible, and I started underlining and stuff after I figured out you could underline in your Bible. And so I'm quoting those scriptures over myself, trying to convince myself that God really has a plan. Because I don't really know, other than what the Bible says. Now, I've been saved a year or so, maybe, or less, or whatever. Well, I mean, you know, and I mean, I keep hearing these thoughts, you know, God can't use you. God ain't going to bless you. You've still got this problem, and you've still got this, and you're this, and you're that, and all that. Well, this guy comes, and he's a missionary, whatever he was, and he begins to prophesy good things into my life. I'd never seen him or never knew him or anything, you know. He didn't know anything about me, and I know what I'd been believing God for, you know, to believe this scripture, that he loves me, that he has a plan, that he will carry that plan out, because I'd never seen God do anything, you know. And so he's prophesying this stuff, and I'm out, and I'm thinking about it. God, how can that be? He missed it. I mean, there's no way you can use me in these things, you know, because I got so many flaws and all of that stuff. And, you know, and the Lord spoke to me. The Holy Spirit, love, spoke to me. He said, I don't bless you based on what you do. He said, I don't look at you the way that you see yourself. He said, I don't look at you and determine whether you're going to stay here or not. He said, I'm pouring myself out to you. And then I thought, man, I don't know about all that. So I run across the scripture in the Bible where it says, it doeth not yet appear what we shall be. But when he shall come, we will be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We'll have revelation of him. Increasing revelation of who we are and who we are in God. That is happening on a major scale right now. There's a move of God on around this world right now. You see it in the news. You see it with Ukraine and you see it with Israel and all of that. There is a move of God that is happening in this earth right now. And I just have to stand there and say, I'm next, glory to God. Our church is next, God. A move of God. And I believe that the love walk is the move. I believe that if we practice it, you know, love looks for the best in a bad person. I mean, love looks for good in every bad decision-making people, you know. Because, you know, all I've ever really wanted is to be bragged on. I'm talking about, you know, you're a good husband. You was a good son. Well, I had none of that to be bragged about before I got born again. But after I got born again, then I found out that we're to let other men's mouth praise us and not ourselves. So I thought, well, I'm going to just live for Jesus. But anyhow, that deacon, he comes in and he crawls from the back door to the altar. And when he did, somebody had prayed that day, I'm going to church. I'm going to go to church, God, and if you're really real, we'll then have somebody to crawl to the altar. And you know what? God shut down the whole service, spoke to a man something that seemed stupid to me, and he obeyed him. See, love will obey God. When you know, love, the Bible says in Galatians over there, 6, I believe it is, 6, 5, 5, 6, 1 of the 2, it says, faith which works by love. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor but faith which works by love. See, his loving God. Now, that church, I felt so loved in there, and nobody really made that happen far as I can see. But I felt like, and I testified one day, and I bet you everybody in the church felt like, I hope he don't try to come live in my basement. But I testified in church. I said, I feel so loved in here. I said, I feel like if I got homeless, that I could ask any of y'all in here, and y'all would let me come live in your basement. And I meant what I was saying. I felt like they loved me that way. It was just in that church. Well, it wasn't in that church because all of them were in strife about each other. They wasn't, you know, and Bradley, he'd preach, you know, and he'd say, birds of feathers flock together. And I'd wonder what he meant. What does he mean by that? Well, people in an angry spirit, they can hang with people in an angry spirit. You know, people in a wrong spirit, it's easy for them to hang around with people that's in a wrong spirit. But people that's walking in a right spirit and a right spirit, well, it's easy for them to hang around people walking in a right spirit. And, you know, and I would think, I'm not going to get on the wrong side of God. I'm not going to get in the gossiping clique. They were some. had a guy come to me one time and going to bring an accusation against Brother Brad, you know, and I didn't know if it was true or not, you know, and come all the way to my house. Have you heard about Brad? And I just stopped him. I just stopped him. I said, don't say nothing else. You know, well, don't you want? I said, no. I said, when we get to church tomorrow, that was on a Saturday. I said, when we get to church tomorrow, I said, we'll get Bradley in, and then you can tell me then. You tell, well, why? And I was really ignorant, other than I'd read the scripture, to receive not an accusation against an elder without a witness. Don't receive it. And so that's all I knew was, see, love was telling me to do that. Love was saying, no, I don't want to know nothing about him. You know, whether it's true or not, it's going to give me a wrong image. See, And our words as Christians to our family members, to our church members or whatever, creates an image. You know, and if we do it out of covering, love covers. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. Well, love, Jesus, covered all of our sins, right? We can bring something, our past, up to God, and God will say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I did away with that a long time ago. I don't keep an account of that stuff. See, love don't keep no account. Love don't keep no account, and that's why God's unstoppable, because God's love. And love causes us to be balanced in our spirit when we're walking in the love of God. And you know what? I used to think to myself, you know, that to show my attitude and power was to be mean and rude and let them know and blah, 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 you know. And I might be little, but dynamite comes in small packages. That was arrogance. That was devilish. That was demonic thinking and all of that back, ingraining it in me so that when I come to the church that I would be that little arrogant punk. Really, I was a bully. I needed beat up by a bunch. You know, and so if I ever tell anything about any of that stupid garbage in my life that I did back under that arrogant, you know, West End, whatever my name was, you know, and all of that, I only tell it for the glory of God, that God broke it out of me. God began to put love in me, and now I'm 5'6" instead of 10 foot, you know. And so now I realize that the way of power is love. I mean, I realize that I'm a real man. If I love my wife, if I love y'all guys, I love my church, and I'm going to love my church up there. It's still my home church. I still love them. And if I find out they're burdened in any ways, I will call and I will go and I will hook the trailers and trucks. And I told my pastor, I said, everything I've got belongs to you. If you need anything I have at any given time, it's yours. You don't have to ask me. You just call me up and let me know you want it. And it's yours. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you know what? That puts me in a place of dominion and power. And then if there is a need and I don't have the means, because I'm walking in love, my faith will work. And I can believe for God to supply me what I need to help them. And then it's not my ability anymore. It's not my resources anymore. It's God's resources. How many knows He wants the body of Christ walking in that? Walking in that with our families. You know, I went with my family. They a bunch of us. When you go out to eat with my family, you know, don't even think about whether you're going to foot the bill. Make your mind up. Because it sets you back. I mean, it sets you back a couple of $100, man, for a biscuit. You feel like I ate 3 eggs over medium and a piece of ham, and it was $180 when I got out of there. What a breakfast, you know. But I'm sitting there, you know, and I thought, I'm glad that God has blessed me in my life where I can do these things for my family. I'm going to say this, just I believe they all deserve it. Kinda, maybe. But whether they do or not, see, you love people unconditionally. I don't have to like all their attitudes. I don't have to like all their ways. I don't have to cut them off because I don't like some of the things that they say and their actions they do, because that I sat in the presence of God, and I'm sure God says, "Ooh, you're close to the edge there on that, son. Come on up." He don't just cut me off and say, "No. Look what you said yesterday. I'm not giving you any more favor. I'm not giving you..." No, He is love. But He brings correction to it. I thank God that He corrects me, Johnny. I'll say that in all honesty. God, don't leave me to myself. God, you help me. You help me, God. You help me, God, if I'm leaning to my own self, you know, and out of love, God, quicken me to it. Bring a sermon, you know, or whatever. I went fishing the other day by myself, told Teresa, I said, I think I'm just going to go fish for a couple hours. And I go down there and I'm all bored. I'm fishing and I'm just fishing. And I spend about 30 minutes fishing and I'm like, this ain't no good. And so I just go back home and where she's at, you know, and kick back on the, you know. Well, when she did that Saturday, I thought, well, praise God, we'll go fishing. Yeah, I'll go. So I drive. I was planning on driving wherever I had to drive to get worms. And I mean, give me vision. Fishing with my wife on Saturday, that's a miracle. We hadn't done it in a lot of years, you know. And so anyways, I'm down there and I'm just fishing, boy, and I'm catching them fish and all of that, you know. And all of a sudden I thought, this is enjoyable. I went down there 2 or 3 hours. We spent 2 or 3 hours down there and had praise and worship music on. I believe I caught the biggest fish. And she's dragging them cats out of there. I'm like, I didn't know they was that big in there. Man, about 4, 5, 6 pound catfish out of there, you know, and everything. And I got in the truck and I told her a little later, I said, I enjoyed that today. I just enjoyed that today, you know. She decided to walk in love. Now, we both do our part, but she decided to get out of my house shoes. She don't wear my house shoes out. They're wore out. They got holes in them. I told her the other day, I said, it's fine. I don't wear them anyhow. I don't wear house shoes, praise the Lord. But you know what? The love of God, see, you can have the best days in your latter years. You can have a bond in your latter years greater than you had in your former years. With your family, I'm not just talking about wife and husband. With your family, with your family members, with your friends, and all of that stuff. A deeper bond. And you know, when we walk in the love of God, people have confidence in us. They begin to have confidence in us. Why? Because your faith is energized by, because it works through that love, you know, and then it gives people confidence in you. It's just like I've had people going to this church and they start making stupid choices. They're thinking wrong, you know, and I go to them and say, look, man, you know, I wanted to tell them, I've helped you get a good reputation at this church, but I don't say it that way. We walked with you, and you've got a reputation. Now you're getting self-centered and self-willed, and you are ruining, and I've told them, you're ruining yourself. You're, you know, if you keep walking down this path right here. Now, what was I doing? I was warning them that what I see from out here looking in, outside looking in, that I see the credibility losing. If I've seen it once, I've seen it 300 more times in this church in 30 years. And they carry on, you know, they get selfish in marriage and they think, well, I'm not going to live in a loveless marriage. And I'm like, well, love her. It's all about you. Who is that about? You know, don't, you know, you love her. If you love her, you'll let her love you. You know? But see, just thinking all that selfish stuff. See, that's the way it is. See, love is not quick angered. The deeper we go in love, we'll come to the place to where you can't make us mad. You won't be able to move us. Walking in love is part of seeking the kingdom. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added to you. See, back down yonder, you know, when I run over a dude's, I backed into a dude's lawnmower. We didn't have no money. You know, Teresa, we got to fix that. And I'm like, well, we ain't got the money to fix that. We just barely are paying our bills, you know, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, we got to do the right thing. And I thought, hell, you got to do the right thing, you know. And so we started believing God for the extra money to come in to fix that because we couldn't see no way of fixing it. Well, you know what happened? Because we begin to believe God, the stuff came in. And I was like, man, this works. This really worked. Well, God wanted us not to just say, I love you, neighbor, but He wanted us to demonstrate, I love you, neighbor. The neighbor told me, he said, oh, man, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. you know, it's good. You was helping me take trees down and different things, you know, and my son's done bent the other side anyways, running into, you know, and I was like, oh, okay, whew, thank you, Lord. Got off the hook on that. Well, then I get home, you know, and Tree says, no, that's not right, that's not right. And I'm like, man, just shut up. That's what I was thinking, man, just shut up. I don't know how to fix it, you know. But little did I know that he had told his wife, he won't never fix it. You just watch and see. You know who heard that? God did. God heard that. And then God won't leave my wife alone. And when your wife's on, your husband's on, you about doing the right thing, it's God. God's the one that does it. In righteousness shall we be established, right? In God's way of doing and being and talking and thinking and all of that. Actions. You know, so, you know, we went on and we fixed that. We didn't know. Teresa found out later through her that he had said that. But see, God was demonstrating love in me, and he was probably going by my past. How I was. He knew me real well. We partied together. We stole together. We cocaine together. We did a lot of stuff, you know. And so he was going by my past. But I'm born again now. And you know what? God revealed his love through me to him. He revealed that. And you know what? The Bible says, Teresa had the scripture. I got the same scripture. But it says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because you have love one for another, because you choose to love one another. You know, I've been going to quit the church before, this church. Feel burnout, you know, and you get, you know, and all of that stuff. And every time I would really, really get down to thinking about it, you know, I'd be, man, what's Johnny going to do? It's happened over the years, you know. But I'd be like, man, what are they going to do? Man, where are they going to go to church? You know, they've been faithful, you know. They not as faithful as me, but they've been close. But see, what was happening, see, that was love keeping me in victory. That was love. That was love that I had for the brethren. Because when you really love the brethren, then you consider what you're going to do, whether it's going to help them or hurt them. See, love will cause you not to be looking at just yourself. It'll cause you really to look at what? And that's God. See, God's love is not natural. No, in the Bible, Teresa brought it out, it's in Romans 5, it's already been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We have the agape supernatural love of God. And you don't have to feel it. The Bible says it's there, right? But to feel it and experience it, you're gonna have to walk and begin to activate it. Once you begin, I mean, it thrills me for Teresa to get the best. You know, I mean, it's just like, don't. She said yesterday. She said, don't go get no worms now, because she's catching them big catfish, and I'm catching the little mini brims, you know, and stuff. And you know, and I thought, that's not love. That was not love. That was competitive. Now I'm going to feel guilty if I get worms. She should not have said that. Love wouldn't have said that. You know, and I thought, well, that's goofy for me to think that. That's none of her business. I built this pun. I stocked this pun. And by God, she's just going to have to suck it up and walk in love if I do get some worms. Having these thoughts. You know, and then I thought, I think I won't get no worms. Just let her catch them things. Just let her catch them. And I'll get them off the hook, you know. Used to. We might have thrown each other in there trying to decide who ain't going to get worms or not. Hallelujah. I mean, really. You know. But see, God's love, walking in love, is part of seeking first the kingdom. What we got to realize, you know, our love walk is going to determine our faith level. That's working. We can have head knowledge of the scriptures and all of that, but revelation comes through humility. And when we're walking in love, we're humbling ourselves before the Lord. We're walking, you know, in humility, and it opens the door up for the faith of God. to be energized in work. You can bleed for your house paid off. You can believe for your increase to come on your job when you're barely getting by week after week after week, and you would like to have some new tackle. You would like to have a new reeling rod. You would like to have some new tires on your car. You would really like to have some. And the more that we walk in love, the more that Bible says all things are possible to those that believe. And it puts you in a place of believing different. I mean, praise God, hallelujah, puts you into place. You know, it's real easy to put people before you when you're not in need. You know, when you got plenty of time. I've always noticed when people need me to help them, it's never convenient to me. Never. I'm thinking, don't they think about me? Why would they ask me that? They know I'm a busy man, blah, 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 blah. That's not love. You know, I've learned, you know, that it's not always convenient. It wasn't convenient for Jesus going to that cross. You know, it wasn't convenient for him, you know. And I've learned that in inconvenience is when I have my greatest opportunities to walk in love and see God work for me. I see him work in my situation, in other people say, and then you walk away and you're like, glory to God, man. You just helped them people out of a major situation that they didn't have the means of doing anything, but you did. Because God supplied all of your needs according to his riches. And it's not just about money. You know? It's not just about money. You know, but when we walk in the love of God, and you know what? Walking in the love of God will cause you to be sensitive to when it's God wanting you to help them or move for them or do for them or not. I mean, when you walk in the love of God, you're walking in the wisdom of God. And then when God don't want you to do anything, you'll just feel like, nope, that's not for me to do. That's somebody else there. That's not mine there. You know, I've been caught up out of emotions helping people like that, and it just get bad in my life. Just things start happening bad for me, you know, and all of that. But out of my love, but not led. But really, when you walk in the love of God, you'll learn, you know, when you're supposed to move, when you're supposed to do, if you're supposed to move, if you're supposed to do, and God will bring you to a place. I mean, you know, I told Teresa not too long ago, I said, it's amazing. I said, where our life is at right now in the financial realm. I said, you know what? I said, we believe God and all of that stuff through. And I say all this stuff like it happened quickly. It didn't happen quickly. Most of it didn't happen. It was walk it out. It was walk in trust. It was walk in trust. It was renew your mind to the word. Walk in trust. Walk in trust. Speak right. Don't confess wrong. All of that. You know, it's a process in going up in God. And I told her, we had more money than we needed, you know. And I'm like, whoo, yeah, baby, this feels good. Feels good, feels good. And then it just keeps coming and keeps coming. And I'm like, whoo. And then I had another problem. What am I going to do with all this money? Good Lord, John 10:10's happening. See, now don't get upset when I'm telling you this stuff. People get upset when I tell them this kind of stuff. They're like, boy, Scotty's bragging. No, Scotty is grateful. Scotty had nothing. Scotty could do nothing. Scotty couldn't keep a job. Scotty couldn't keep his marriage. No, Scotty's grateful. But now I can say God has been good to Scotty. And if you'll do it, he'll be good to you. So I'm like, man, what do I do? What are we going to do with all this money? I thought, oh, man, you got a problem when you ain't got none. You got problem when you got just enough, and then you got problem when you got more than enough. What do you do with all of this money? And then you have to start seeking God and say, God, lead me. Show me what I'm supposed to do, God. God, you give me seed for the sower, and you said you're going to multiply the seeds that I sow, God. You're not through. So then I determined I've not been after money in a long time. I work with my hands that I have to give to those who need. That's what I started doing, you know, started giving and different things, you know. And then I come to the place, I'm like, I started having this desire. Hey, man, I've worked for money for 45 years. Now I want my money to work for me. God, what do I do? God, show me what to do. See, and when I tell this stuff, you know, you don't sit back and say, boy, if I just said, God, just do it. Don't start all of that stuff. You're supposed to hear the testimonies of God, and you're supposed to say, I'm doing that. I'm going to go there. I'm going to walk in love. I'm not going to get angry with my wife anymore. I'm not going to get angry with my kids anymore. I'm going to correct them out of love and not anger. I'm going to correct them where they experience what I am. That's the way God does us. With correction comes inspiration when God corrects me. When God corrects me, inspiration's right behind it. I mean right with it. Inspiration. I told Aubrey, she'd come up there, she's dragging both of her cats and they're all wadded up. They just go throw them in the shop. Throw them in the shed when they get done. Wind the string up and just throw them in there. And then they come dragging out to Pawpaw. They're all mangled up and she's dragging Aiden's behind her. And I said, stop. You're dragging Aiden's across all the sticks and stuff. You're tearing it up.
Now, it was already tore up, Pawpaw. His don't matter.
And I'm like, that's not love. And I get up there, you know, and she says, no, you can't cut it. I said, why can't I cut it? I said, how are we going to get it apart? Well, you just can't cut that string, Pawpaw. I said, oh, I can't. Watch this. Cut it all up. I said, now look. I said, Pawpaw just fixed the mess. Now we got to fix Aiden's. Because you've been dragging it. You know, and I'm like, so I told her this morning, I said, you're going to have to learn to love Aiden a little more now. It sure, Tracy was talking about love, you know. I said, you're going to have to learn. And then her head starts bobbing. Well, Pawpaw, he does this. And he does this. I said, but it don't matter about all that. And, you know, and so I told her this morning, I said, you know what? I said, when you get home, I said, and you need to check Dad's text messages. How come, Pawpaw? I said, because your big, beautiful butterfly cat is in his phone. What cat? I said, the one you desire. I said, it's coming. I said, and I got Aiden a big eagle, I think. I said, she said, how big is it, Pawpaw? I said, it's taller than Pawpaw. I said, it's 5 foot wide. Could I put in there? I told her, I said, I wanted you to have a huge one. Because once it gets in the air, baby, it flies. These little ones, if the wind's blowing, it goes, and then Pawpaw had to go get it up and all that. You know, and so she said, for real, Pawpaw? And I said, yeah. I said, Pawpaw just wanted you to have one. I said, and I got Aiden one. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, this is the way God's been with me. Son, I just want you to have a good marriage. I want you. I want you to have more money than you need. I want you. I want you to have a good life. I want you to be joyful. I want you to be faith, have plenty of faith. He said, walk in love. He said, well, the more you walk in love, the more that you enjoy life. And it's really true. And I know we do. I know we're every one of us. You love God. You're here today. You know, but I believe God's going to take the body of Christ deeper into His love. I mean, deeper into where we're satisfied. I mean, I absolutely try to operate in that. Have for years, you know, to prefer others before myself. You know, think about them. Don't think about the cost. You know, when I go forward to help somebody or anything like that, don't count the cost, but just trust God to supply me. Supply me with strength, to supply me with faith, to supply me with endurance. Sometimes you got to endure with people when their elevator's not going to the top. I mean, I have to endure with door people a lot, you know. their elevator's not. Every time I call over and they've hired somebody new, I look at Travis, I got to train this one too. And I've been 6 years training their people. They don't even know what they're doing. I have to tell them everything. So then I thought, well, I got to call them over there and tell them because they sure can't figure this one out. And I don't need this job messed up. Then I call the main place over there and I tell them I had to call y'all because they don't know what they're doing. I said, I told one of them, I said, I've been training them best I can. Well, see, love will be long-suffering with these people while they're learning to do their job. Even though it puts hardship on me and can really mess my jobs up and really can do that. But see, love will cause you to have wisdom and extend grace to them, and then you're help building them. And the Bible says, "Do not be weary in well-doing." Love says, "Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due time, Scotty, you will reap from that company." Well, I stood with them, and then I'm the only one. I asked a lot of them that I knew. They sent me an email, and they said, "Because of your volume, because of your, we've decided to give you a decrease in your doors." And then it wasn't about a month. Travis said, "That's favor." I was preaching on favor, and I was believing for favor. Well, about two or three weeks or another month went by. They sent me another one. They come down again on my garage doors. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? That was a test I was in at my job, becoming unglued on them, cussed them out. I even drove up there one time, not this company, another company. I even drove up in there and I walked into that place and there was all the big guys. I said, "I am Scotty Weston." And they're like, and I'm like, "Who's responsible for all this garbage I get dumped on me down yonder in Alabama? I buy $500,000 worth of doors here." I wasn't very deep in love at that time, Johnny. I was saved a year and a half, and they're driving me up the wall. But here a few years later, you can't drive me up the wall. I'm driving Satan out. Yeah. Hallelujah. It truly works that way. Gosh, we got to quit, man. Ooh, y'all got an extra 15 minutes. I didn't even realize it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just